This is not a debate. This is a lecture.
I mean, what's going to happen next? You're going to see NFL players doing the running with the Bulls over in Spain or something? Just to be new and trendy?
Yeah, that just helps with conditioning in the offseason. Don't be ridiculous.
About for today, having, I don't know who it is, the artist, because I don't really listen to this kind of music, but I heard a song on the radio called Sometime, well, I don't know what it's called, but the chorus is Sometimes Goodbye is a Second Chance, and it resonated with me, but I couldn't get the audio clips done in time, so I'm just telling you, this is our final Wednesdays with Wade broadcast. Dustin and I have been working really hard with the Overtime Sports News Network, and the network wants to sponsor us. However, just with the way things are going, we can't get, you know, four or five different shows quite yet. So this will be the final Wednesdays with Wade. Wade will be tuning in every once in a while to say hi to us, but we will be moving this show, well, not this show, it's a different entity, but we will be having a show, two of them now, on Mondays. One very much like this, an around-the-league debate show. It'll be called Mediation Mondays. We've teased a little bit on the website, teased it on Facebook, things like that. And then, of course, we have Stars Align, which is our Monday Cowboy broadcast. So we will still be giving you all of the around-the-league news, as well as some updates, breaking news as it happens, different things like that. Mediation Monday is going to be really, really cool. I think you guys will really like it a lot. And, you know, we just got to thank our listeners so much for reading the blogs on the Overtime Sports News page, for listening to the show live every week over 100, triple digits every week for live listeners. We have great callers, great chat box, so we appreciate that. Waiting for Dustin to get on in here, but we're going to start with Geno Smith and how the Jets. I know we're a bit late here. This happened yesterday. It was all over yesterday, but we don't have a Tuesday show, so we're talking about it today. The New York Jets have got to be a cursed organization. They have just the things that happen in that organization to this team just baffle me. Just completely. I don't even understand it. For anybody who doesn't know what happens, who hasn't been conscious for the past 24 hours, Geno Smith was in an altercation with IK Nkambali, I believe is how you say it, who was a scrub player, a reserve linebacker out of Louisiana Tech, was struggling even to make the team, got into a bit of a debate in the locker room with him about something, which we'll tell you what it was about, but we'll just say right now it was a scrum in the locker room. IK punched Geno in the face, fractured his jaw in two places, and for all intents and purposes, probably ended his season, and I'll get to why that's my point in a minute. Geno is due to have surgery on his jaw and is contemplating legal action. Meanwhile, the Jets are stuck with Fitzpatrick and rookie Bryce Petty. So this is just another skid mark on the long history of crap for the New York Jets. And, you know, I mean, my girlfriend's a Jets fan, so I have to, and my dad. My dad's also a Jets fan, so I have to listen to Jets talk all season long and go to at least one per game, which is painful. But this is, from an unbiased standpoint, something that is just ridiculous. I mean, this could have been hashed out by middle schoolers. I mean, Dustin, did you hear anything about why he got punched in the face? I mean, I know why. I was going to tease it, but if you know why, you can tell the listeners.
Well, first of all, do I sound all right?
Oh, you sound great.
Okay.
Always love hearing your voice.
Yeah. So from what I heard, it was something about attending practices or camps or something like that. Again, I heard what the reasoning was or what it was reported, but I didn't really, let the info sink into my head. So that's why I'm kind of like patchy as far as like trying to tell you what I think it is. But I know it was along the lines of, you know, somebody thinking that they're bigger than the team and then somebody having a problem with that. And then ultimately it ended up in the altercation. But I just feel like it's a little ridiculous because I don't know. Geno Smith sucks, you know? this isn't like, I don't know, like maybe a Donovan McNabb. I'm just trying to think of a caliber player that's above Smith that could have had something like this happen where a teammate challenged him and was like, yo, you're not bigger than the team. And then the guy was like, really? Are you kidding? Do you know who you're talking to? And then it escalated. Because, well, I guess you could say a similar thing with the whole Dez Bryant and Patman or whoever the guy was. Dez walks on and Dez is like, I'm Dez Bryant. I'm throw up the X. Like, my name is bigger than the team.
You can't put Dez Bryant in the same universe.
No, but what I'm saying is the reason why this is a joke is because Geno Smith sucks. But what I'm saying is the level of intensity and the example of what happened is relative to that. Because it's the same type of problem where one guy thinks he's bigger than the team and another guy is trying to give him a reality check. And unfortunately, that's what happened. Somebody got clocked in the face. Thankfully for Cowboys fans, that didn't happen between Dez and the no-name guy. But, unfortunately for Jets fans, it happened here. So, whatever. I mean, there's a great article on Overtime Sports News Network that Jets, it's JETS, mess. Go read it. One of the writers, Jason, he did a great job covering it. He also has his own page, and he goes more in depth about it. So if you want, the network's take on what's going on, go check that out on the website. But you can go ahead and give us your reports on the matter.
We have such great writers on Overtime Sports News, by the way. We got to appreciate them. They are a top-tier staff for sure. But what was coming through the desks at ESPN and on the airwaves and was on my desk this morning was this. The altercation between the New York Jets locker room that ended with Geno Smith suffering a broken jaw was a dispute over $600. I kid you not, $600. And what happened was, and according to reports, was that Geno Smith accepted a $600 plane ticket from IK to appear at reserve linebacker. I have to call him that because he's not a real linebacker on the team. Reserve linebacker's football camp in, I believe it's called Pflugerville, Texas. It's really spelled weird. But anyways, problems arose. Smith did not show up to the camp. It took place a couple of days after Smith had a friend or a close person to him killed in a motorcycle accident. So after Smith did not attend, Ancapali demanded that the Jets quarterback refund him the $600 that he allegedly used to purchase the plane ticket. Again, this is according to ESPN. Smith told Ancapali that he would reimburse him the money, but had not as of yesterday. Apparently, Ancapali confronted Smith yesterday in the locker room about the money, and the confrontation ended in a broken jaw. So a lot of people are saying, oh, it was a sucker punch. He just ran up on him, blah, 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 blah. I don't think that's the case. I mean, like Todd Bowles said, it takes two to tango. Now there's reports that are coming out saying that Geno dared him to hit him and said, you won't. Give him that classic line that works on guys every time. You won't. You won't do it. Hit me. And he did. But that's just coming out now. Yesterday, no one knew any of that stuff. But listen, it was $600.
Well, then, if that's the case, but $600 to a guy that you just said is a scrub and might not even be on the team, that's a lot of money. To me, that's a lot of money because I'm broke. So
yeah.
If somebody ever did that to me, what happened with Gino, I paid for you to be somewhere, okay? You know, somebody died that you knew. Any decent human being would have been like, yo, man, here, let me give you your money back. I'm sorry I can't make it to your thing. So I don't know. Whether the guy ran up on Gino and was like, yo, you better give me my money back, then okay, then that probably could have provoked something. But if Gino Smith literally ducked out of this thing, blamed it on the death of a friend or a family member, and then, you know, was like, all right, I'll give you your money, but then the guy was just like being, you know, a dick and asking for it, then I can understand. But from all the reports that have come out, it sounds like Gino was just trying to keep this dude's money and be like, yo, I had somebody who died. You're going to ask me for the money back? It's like, well, yeah, man, because, you know, not everybody's got that first round pick BS money like you have that you're not going to live up to. So I agree with the guy that got screwed in the situation, because this is the type of thing that would sound like it would happen to me, where I'd have a buddy, I'd, you know, agree to fly him out and pay for something. Something horrible would happen out of all of our control that would keep that buddy from coming out and doing an appearance for me. So I'd be like, all right, you know, and then basically the guy would, you know what I mean? I'd be out of the money because I paid for that guy to come, but the guy never showed up. So I'd be like, well, what the hell? Can I have the money back? Because I, you know what I mean? So it's a crappy situation altogether. And unfortunately, I can somehow relate to the guy who threw the punch versus the guy punch thrown on him. So
you gotta tell us.
What's that?
You gotta tell us how you can relate.
Because of what I just told you, I can completely get inside that guy's head and understand why he wanted the money back. Because he's listen.
I thought you were saying that you had something similar happen when you lost money and they.
No, I said
okay.
Something. Right. I said I could, because of how my life is, where everything seems to go wrong at all the perfect times just to piss me off. I was saying that I could somehow in my head visualize this happening to me, and then me having to be that guy who basically put the money up for somebody to come out. Something happens, somehow the person bails, and now I'm out to $600, and I'm like, yo, can I get the $600 because you weren't able to make it? And then now I'm the asshole because I'm asking for the money, or I'm out to $600 if I eat it. And then, you know, that really doesn't help anybody at all. So you would think the guy who's clearly making way more money than the other guy would just be like, yo, let me give you that $600. I apologize. I couldn't make it. It was an awful situation. We'll get you another time. Especially teammates. This isn't like a rival. You know what I mean? Like, these guys are on the same team. They're all supposed to be like a family and be boys. So I think they both suck, but if I had to put more blame on one than the other, I got to say, Gino, you're supposed to be the QB, man. Whether you want it or not, QB is the natural leader of the team.
Gino's proven he has no leadership in that locker room. He's proven that he's basically a kid. I mean, he's had several.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that everyone's seen that there's no anything but crap in that locker room, because Rex Ryan was in tears more times than not in that locker room, and that's why everybody gave up on him. So if I was anybody who had to go in and fix the Jets, what I'd be doing is booting everybody out the door and just starting fresh, because there's clearly cancer there, and it's clearly not going to work. So you got
to
just
according to sources in ESPN, Geno Smith, and this is Josiah Anderson was told this by sources within Florham Park and the Jets organization. Gino initially intended to attend the event out of goodwill. He did not borrow $600 from Incapoli directly. He volunteered to attend the event, and the guy paid for his plane ticket. Gino offered to pay the kid back from what was spent to help him out. Now, apparently in the locker room, players got involved trying to defuse the situation, and the players offered to pay the guy the $600 back. It says here that he was immediately released about 10 minutes after the incident had happened. It was childish. I mean, the guy throws away. He's trying to make a roster. He's trying to do all that. He basically just threw away his entire career. You know what I'm saying? He he's not going to get picked up by anybody else because, I mean, off-the-field issues, that's one thing. In the locker room, this guy has now proven, okay, well, he's not going after another scrub. He's not going after another, you know, reserve player or a practice squad player. He's going after the starting quarterback on this team. I mean, if this was our Cowboys, I'd be very concerned. If somebody, you know, knocked out Tony Romo, in practice over something like that, I would be, oh my God, get that guy the hell away from our locker room as quick as possible. But a lot of Jets fans, and I've been listening to Lupica all morning and listening to Mike and Mike, and all morning long, Jets fans have been saying, maybe this is a blessing. You never want to see somebody get hurt, sure, but maybe it's a blessing that this had happened because Geno Smith got booed at the green and white scrimmage game. He also went on to throw a couple picks in that game. He's been interception friendly. He's had flashes of being okay, but he's had a lot more times when he has not been very good. And now you've got Ryan Fitzpatrick, who knows this offensive system under Chan Gailey. He played with him in Buffalo. He sort of knows this playbook. And you've got Bryce Petty. This could be an opportunity to let the young kid get out there, show what he's got, sort of, you know, develop himself. And I think we're going to see a lot of Bryce Petty in the preseason. That's a tongue twister. Bryce Petty in the preseason. Try saying that six times fast. But it's one of those things where Geno Smith was probably on his way out. The Jets were probably going to be the last place in the division, probably week 5 or 6. They were going to bench him anyway. I just don't have faith in Geno being that guy in New York, but I don't know how I feel about Fitzpatrick being that guy either. And I don't know. I mean, this whole thing was childish. It was $600 to the money that these guys make shouldn't really have been that much. Plus, if Geno didn't have it, let's say he spent it on something. Let's say he went out to the club and, you know, bought shots and there was a bunch of girls there or whatever. I don't know. He had his situation. Geno could have very easily said, listen, dude, I didn't get my check this week. I will get it to you. I promise. Just relax a little bit. You know, let's focus on practice. You know, he could have diffused it in a different way. Instead, according to what's coming out now, Geno dared Ian Capali to hit him. And if that happened, Geno's just as much at fault. I would have hit him too. But if what Geno's claiming is true and the dude just walked up on him and swung, well, obviously then, you know, that's a different issue. But honestly, I think that the Jets are just a train wreck. They're going to try to ride this defense like they did with Rex Ryan when they made the AFC Championship game. They're going to be winning or losing a lot of close games and a lot of low-scoring games. I mean, 17-10, 20-17, 10-6, 13-10, things like that. Because this team just can't score. Despite having Decker and Marshall, they just can't score. And this defense is one of the best in the league. So, I don't know. I just think the Jets overall are a few years away from doing anything.
I agree with you. I just think it's... I don't know. This new guy was supposed to come in and kind of change the culture in the locker room. And to be honest with you, I just don't see that much culture change other than the fact that now people are swinging on each other. I mean, like I said earlier, you already knew that the overall mindset sucked because, you know, Rex knew he was out. Everybody gave up on him. But it's supposed to be different now. You got Revis back. You got Cromartie back. You know, you have quality players that wanted to come in, Brandon Marshall. So it was supposed to be different. Like, you're supposed to be building for the future. You just had a great draft pick. So it's like this guy, all he had to do was come in and give, like, a little bit of a toughness. And instead, he kind of, like, gives off this, like, I'm just one of the boys vibe. And it's not going to roll. You know, unless Revis becomes, like, the coach that's not really a coach and just kind of takes over and you get some veteran leadership to control everybody in the locker room. Unless that happens, this is going to be a very, very large failed experiment. And for people, you know, like friends that I have that love the Patriots, it's just going to be a hilarious movie to watch unfold because it's just going to be a crash and burn. And it's going to be another 4 years of just crap for the Jets, and it's just going to guarantee another 4 years of an easy 2 wins for everyone else in the division.
know, that's possibly true. But, you know, I'm looking at this division right now, and with Geno out, they, yeah, he's not great, sure. But he was a starting quarterback. Now there's two teams in this division that have a question mark at quarterback and have great defenses. And that leads me sort of to say about New England real quick, and we'll get into Geno in a second again, but New England is the only team in that defense, or only team in that division, rather, lacking a solid defense. I mean, obviously New England's got the offense, they've got Tom Brady, first ballot Hall of Famer, all that, and the other teams have Tannehill and two question marks. But that those defenses, that defense in Buffalo is nasty. The Jets' defense is good. The Dolphins' defense has vastly improved. So now the Patriots might have a little bit tougher of a road than you'd think, and I think the Jets are probably going to eke out a couple, because look at this Jets team last year. They should have beat New England twice and didn't get the job done in the final couple seconds. So I think the Jets are going to be better than people think, and I'm guaranteeing it. I'm calling it now, and I'll put it up on the Overtime Sports News Network later. Bryce Petty will be the starter by the end of the season. Geno's going to come back from this jaw injury. Not going to have a job.
He's not going to have a job. Yeah.
No. Bryce
but,
Petty
let me
is
tell
going
you right
to,
now, though. I'm
going to
tell you
college.
Right now that Rex, listen, Rex Ryan game plans against Bill Belichick better than any coach in the league. So you're going to see the Bills giving the Patriots a lot of trouble this year, not the Jets. It's got nothing to do with the players on the team. It has to do with the coach. Rex Ryan is one of the best defensive coaches to ever coach in the league, ever. So it's not about the players. It's about Rex Ryan is one hell of a coach, and he knows what gets Tom Brady upset, and he knows what gets Bill upset, and that's what gave the Patriots the trouble the most, not the Jets. It was Rex Ryan. So look for more of that this coming year with the Bills. It's not going to be the Jets, I assure you that.
Todd
Revis
Bowles
is falling off.
Too,
he's
though.
Getting old. Yeah, but Todd Bowles is not even remotely – yeah, I'm sorry. If you're going to put Todd Bowles next to Rex Ryan, he can't even hold Rex Ryan's clipboard. So don't even get me started on that shit.
Well, maybe next week. We could have a topic for Mediation Monday. Who knows? So I'm looking at this again, and I mean, it's just to me, it's just more Jets BS and nonsense. But the Jets, I watched Bryce Petty in college, man. I did. And he's going to light it up, I have a feeling. Bryce Petty is a solid quarterback. And with those two receivers that he has, this actually could have been a best-case scenario for Jets fans and a worst-case scenario for Geno. Because I guarantee you, Geno's sitting there thinking to himself, okay, I'm going to come back, I'm going to heal, I'm going to be the starter. And he fully intends to come back. This punch, one punch, could have ended Geno's career. Because nobody, if they cut him, I don't think anyone's going to pick him up and give him a starting spot. I don't even think Jacksonville or Tennessee would give him a starting spot. I think he's going to be floating around the league as a backup now. And because of this one guy, and because he jerked around one guy for $600, which to them and their contracts, to us is like $50, if that. Because of that, one punch, he's going to be a backup quarterback the rest of his career. And, he deserves to be a backup quarterback anyway.
He was a backup quarterback already. It's just there was a team that was desperate that gave him a starting job that he didn't deserve. Hell, if Favre came out of retirement, he could still show up at the Jets facility day one and just start. Geno sucks.
And, you know, that's the beautiful thing about this show. Is because I'm so used to having to be 100% non-biased and news-friendly the whole time, and we can actually voice opinions on this show, which I love. Geno's not very good. He's been one of those frustrating elements for the Jets, and I think it's because he's shown signs of being able to get the job done. There's been flashes of brilliance with Geno. But then the next play, he'll throw a pick. And it's an obvious, just stupid story, put it right in somebody's chest. His decision-making isn't always the best. And he's, I don't know, Geno is just, let's put it this way. Geno was my starting quarterback. I would consider changing my fandom. I mean, really, I can't understand how Jets fans, you know, every single year go, well, I think this is the year for Geno. I think he's going to turn the corner. He hasn't proved that he's going to turn the corner. And this Iacopoli guy finally just stepped up to him. And I think a lot of this punch wasn't necessarily all about the money. I think a lot of it was the frustration with Geno as well. And there's been several players in the locker room that have voiced frustrations with Geno. So I think that there was more behind this punch. It was a little bit more of a weighted punch than a lot of people may be giving it credit for. But again, we'll get back onto this in a minute, because I'm going to try to dig a little deeper into my sources and try to see if Geno baited him into hitting him or not. If that's the case, well, then I think you should cut both of them. But I will get back later on in the show about that and see if that's the case. We had a little bit of a heated debate, per se, on the Steve Smith issue. Okay, Steve Smith is going to retire after this season. He says he's done. Former Carolina Panthers receiver now plays for the Baltimore Ravens. I think he's a Hall of Famer. I think Steve Smith was a solid receiver. I used to hate playing against him. He does everything the right way. Yeah, he's a loudmouth. He talks a lot. He talks trash. But so are all the best receivers. Jerry Rice was nice off the field. You didn't want to line up against him. He was in your ear constantly. Michael Irvin, all those guys. So, yeah, he's a trash talker. But he's a good receiver, and he's undersized, and he makes plays for his size. The controversial receiver has been in the league for what seems like forever. But now we got to discuss if he deserves a Hall of Fame spot. You mentioned a little something about T.O. and how you don't feel he should be in before T.O. You want to elaborate on that a little bit?
Okay, so my beef with this whole thing is I think Steve Smith is a quality receiver. He's not only do I think he's a quality receiver, he's the type of receiver on my team. He's one of those guys that just fights for every last inch. He's rough, and he just oozes toughness. You know, I can do without the, you know, ice up, all the crap talking and all that crap, because you know me, and I'm not into that. I like the humble guys. I like the quiet everybody's, you know, the people, the most. I mean, I guess I can contradict myself in some ways, because I loved T.O. when he was out, and he was Mr. Touchdown End Zone Dance guy, and I loved
him
and all
ball.
That. Right. So, I mean, I guess I can contradict T.O. I didn't was picking guys as much as Smith was. So maybe that was like the difference to me. But everyone's like, Steve Smith at the end of this year, Hall of Famer, surefire Hall of Famer. And I'm like, whoa. People are debating whether Terrell Owens is a surefire Hall of Famer. And you're telling me a guy with like similar numbers and nearly half the touchdowns is going to get there before T.O.? And that's where I got pissed off, because I'm like, all right, you know, this is a little bit ridiculous. And just so I can elaborate real quick for you, T.O. in 16 seasons, 1,078 receptions to Smith's 915. So again, we still got one more year for Smith to tack on some numbers. T.O.'s career yards, 15,934. To Smith's 13,262. So he's got him by about 2,000 there. You got to think Smith's not going to catch him there. Their averages are nearly identical. All right. They're averaging 14.8, and Smith is 14.5. So T.O. has 14.8. Smith's got 14.5. But the one that really jumps out at you, career touchdowns for T.O., 153. Career touchdowns for Stevie Smith, senior, 73. Okay, so you got a guy who hasn't even broken 100 touchdowns yet. He's a surefire Hall of Famer. Now, I'm not saying that receivers necessarily, everything gets judged by touchdowns, but it might jump out at you just a little bit if you go and you look at Steve Smith's career numbers, and he has one season of a double-digit touchdown catching season. 2005, he had 12. Everything else is single digits. And low, 6, 2, 4, 4, 7, 7. Like, really? And then you want to go to T.O.? Oh, give me a break. All right? His last season, when people were saying he was washed up with the Bengals, he still had 9. The season before the Bills, 5. We knew that season was rough because he got cut from the Cowboys and he got a raw deal. But all the way before that, 10, 15, 13, 6, 14, 9, 13, 16, 13, 14, 8. Like, the guy was there to score. That's what T.O. did. He scored touchdowns. And judging by the yards, he had some yard seasons too, man. Like, he had a lot of 1,000-yard seasons. So his receptions speak for themselves. Smith might catch him there. I mean, I don't know. If he's just going to do one more season, he's got 915. T.O.'s got him beat by over 100 and something catches, 150 catches. I don't think Smith's catching 150 balls this year. You know, the yards, like I said, Smith.
Even with Flacco throwing to him?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. The yards, 15,934. So he's at, let's call it 16,000. Smith's at 13,000. He's going to have a 3,000-yard season? No, thank you. So, and touchdowns? Steve Smith's going to catch 80 touchdowns this year? No. So this is the stuff that pisses me off, because Terrell Owens is being kept out of the Hall of Fame because of character. Really? You're telling me that Steve Smith is Mr. Character? You can YouTube more clips of Steve Smith picking fights with corners than you can of Steve Smith scoring touchdowns. So I don't know.
Okay.
I like Steve Smith. I like Steve Smith. I told a lot of people when he got traded to the Ravens he was going to be a good pickup in fantasy. I was right. But he's not a surefire first ballot Hall of Famer if Terrell Owens is not a surefire Hall of Famer. So I know I took a subject that was mainly Steve Smith and I decided to inject it with some T.O., but I'm just trying to make a point. Terrell Owens, to me, is far and above a way, way better wide receiver than Steve Smith. Obviously, they're a lot different. Steve Smith's 5'9", 195 pounds. Terrell Owens is 6'3", 224. He was a freak of nature, a workout warrior. Everybody said his working out, his practicing, nobody could compare to him because he had to practice as hard as he showed. Terrell Owens was just a physical workhorse. Now, if you want to debate, you go T.O. versus Randy Moss, because then you got natural freak ability in Randy Moss, and then you get a guy with T.O. who had to work for it and gain that ability through hard work over the years. That's a debate worth having. But Steve Smith, first ballot Hall of Famer, only if Terrell Owens is a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Well, I don't think anybody says that he's first ballot. I just think that people think that he's going to get in.
No. Everybody. It's headlines. Headlines. First ballot Hall of Famer. Headlines.
I didn't see that part. Okay. Well, that's news to me.
You got Skip Bayless saying that he would take Steve Smith over T.O. And, I mean, he's a little impartial because he's a Cowboys fan, and he hated how T.O. basically destroyed Philly and then came to Dallas and forced his way out there by being, you know, a very self-righteous guy. But we all know Skip's resume, and he's telling everybody flat out, Steve Smith's the better receiver. And I'm just like, guy, come on, really? Like, it's not even close. Not even close. They're two different types of receivers. You know, you got a physical freak who will go over the middle and get it done for you, who says, you throw me the ball, I'll go get it. And then you got a guy, the little guy, who you know, yeah, he'll work hard for it, but come on, he's not a jump ball guy. He's not he is a go over the middle guy. He's a hard working, tough as nails guy, and that's why I like him, Steve Smith. But I'm sorry, man, he's not in Terrell Owens' atmosphere. No. Everybody's image of T.O. is damaged because of everything we saw off the field. And I feel so bad for the guy because he is a wreck. He's getting destroyed for child support. He's freaking broke. He can't even stay afloat.
My quarterback.
It just sucks. Yeah, it just sucks. I feel bad for him. I really do. I wish somebody, I don't know, I wish he'd get a job as an analyst or something so he can be making some money here. But unfortunately, I think the problem is he's got too many baby mamas. and they're all just coming after him. So.
Yeah, the Sean Kemp syndrome. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, with me, I don't know. I haven't watched enough Steve Smith to really know. I mean, I've only watched really, to be absolutely honest with you, the games against us. I got my fair share of T.O. One, because he was in our division for so long, but two, because he played for us. But, I mean, I don't know. I would put both in. I really would, because NFL, you've got to be a polarizing figure on and off the field. You've got to have some swagger, some, you know, finesse. You've got to be you got to be that kind of figure that people talk about. You know, you're not going to be a squeaky clean guy, and chances are you're not going to be a squeaky clean guy and be a super, super successful player. So that's why I think everybody has their things, and what I think they should do is, if there's a debate about it, why don't we just do what we're going to do on Monday, Mediation Monday? Why don't they just pick a mediator, put them both in at the same in the same ballot? That way, we won't have to worry about who got in first and who should have or who shouldn't have. Just put them both on the same card, put them both in, give them both a jacket, and be done with it. But
I agree.
Again, that's why I'm not the one who makes those decisions. Geno Smith, real quick. Okay, this came out. Okay, and Geno Smith, I didn't want to believe it. I really didn't. Basically says, according to a report with ESPN and a few other NFL.com and a few things, he basically did everything except for punch himself in the face. Apparently what happened was Smith reportedly dared Nkampali to hit him. The source says Ryan Clark, actually, former NFL player and now an ESPN analyst, says Smith dared Nkampali to hit him. Geno put his finger in his face and told the guy, well, you're not going to do anything about it. So, I don't know how I would feel in that situation. I mean, Nkampali got into 6 games last season. The scenario sounds a bit like rookie hazing. It's difficult to see how a quarterback would be empirically one of the worst in the league at his position since he entered the league and can believe he has any right to lord his experience over another teammate. Basically, he's been terrible, as we said. In 2 seasons, check this out, in 2 seasons, Geno Smith has 5,571 passing yards, 25 touchdowns, 34 interceptions, and 16 fumbles in 2 seasons. So I don't know how Geno thinks he's all high and mighty, but if he did that, if Geno basically said, well, you're not going to do anything about it, do it, and he baited this kid whose career he probably just ruined into hitting him, I'd cut it both. I'd be done with both of them. I don't know about you, but I would.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I personally would have cut Geno Smith before any of this happened because, like I said, he's crap.
I mean, they didn't have anybody else.
Yeah, what are you talking about, dude? I like the kid that you were just talking about, Harper. I'm sorry. Hey, who cares? Smith was a rookie. Why the hell did Why did Smith get the full season at rookie?
When he was a rookie, they had nobody else. They brought in Vic.
Okay, well, look at
try to take over Geno's spot, and Vic sucked.
Let Petty and what's his face, the Beard, go at it in a QB battle.
Well, now they have to.
Yeah, absolutely. And unfortunately for Petty, he's got this dickhead as a coach. I mean, that's another example of a guy who could have some potential if they had a coach.
I don't know what your beef is with Todd Bowles.
He sucks.
I really don't.
Listen to him in the interviews. He does not sound like he knows what he's doing. It's just another example of a good defensive mind that's given way too much power because of a team that's desperate and needs a head coach. The Jets, let me tell you what the Jets need. The Jets need John Gruden. That's what the Jets need. The Jets need
good
power.
Luck getting him out of the press box.
They need a guy that's going to come in and say, hey, you don't want to be here? Hit the road. And then change the entire culture and say, this is my team. That's it. That's what they need. They don't need a guy who's going to come in and start giving daps to Revis and Cromartie like, yo, what up, boy, what up? Thanks for coming to the team. Like, screw you, guy. You're not a coach, all right? If you want to go play corner and be one of the boys. I'm just saying it, man. I'm saying it because nobody else will. That's all.
Well, and that's the beautiful part of this show. If anybody has any opinions about this, Bill from Long Island's been a consistent caller. The chat box is blowing up right now. Call us up 713-955-0359. We're here for about another 20 minutes, give or take. Tom Brady, settlement lawsuit today. We're supposed to anyway. Okay, the NFL is not budging. NFL says we will settle if you accept the Wells report and you accept some sort of penalty or some sort of, not penalty, but some sort of responsibility and blame in this. Brady says no. Okay, they're still at a stalemate, court adjourned today with nothing. The only news that's coming out of the Tom Brady thing that I think is worthwhile, that's not a bunch of, you know, legal,
hey,
political crap.
Hey.
Hmm.
Breaking news, Rex Ryan just signed the guy who punched Geno Smith.
He did? I think of Polly?
The Bills just picked him up.
Wow, I thought his career was over.
That is amazing.
Oh, boy. Well, then, that's also a slap in the face to Geno, then, his old coach picking him up. That's beautiful.
Oh,
that is beautiful.
Man,
sports
awesome.
Are beautiful, man.
That's another reason why I love Rex Ryan, because the guy might not even make the team, but the fact that he's willing to give him a shot is just such a, hey, screw you guys.
And it, to me, that just made my day. I'm got a big smile on my face right now. The only news that came out of this Brady thing was worthwhile to me, besides the stalemate, was Peyton Manning is aware that Tom Brady wrote in a private email that he believes Peyton Manning retires soon. He says Peyton's done. He's on his way out. Peyton didn't take it as an insult. Instead, he found humor in it. But he just, because that's the kind of guy Peyton is. Why would Brady write anything? Like, you know you're being watched like a hawk. Just shut up and lock yourself in your multimillion-dollar mansion until this whole thing is up. It's like, why do you need to make more headlines for Brady? I understand if this is the first thing that happened with Brady, no big deal. Peyton finds humor in it, and they draw back and forth, competitiveness, whatever, blah, 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 no big deal. But after all this, Brady, shut up. Don't touch the keyboard and just, it's infuriating. Just go away.
So my whole problem with this Brady situation is as follows. Tom Brady, whether he admits it or not, knows exactly what was done. Okay. You are a quarterback in the National Football League. So you're playing at the highest level. Okay. You are the guy who touches the ball 95% of the time, with the exception of the center, with the exception of the kicker and the punter. These guys are the only guys that touch the football more than everybody else. Now, let me ask you a question. How in the hell can you, at a professional level, that means you have done this for so much longer than everyone else, not know the difference between a regulation football with the appropriate amount of pressure in it and a football that may have been tampered with? I can tell the difference. I compared it to basketball. If a basketball point guard is dribbling a basketball, regulation, AAU, travel level, TF-1000 basketball, genuine leather, it's fully inflated, somebody passes them a Kmart crap one, they can't tell the difference? Of course they can. They're like, nah, give me the TF-1000 back. And then we move on.
Stop.
One more second. I got way more. So then somebody, while he's dribbling the fully inflated regulation TF-1000, passes him another regulation TF-1000, and it is slightly underinflated. That point guard will know the difference. The ball will bounce differently. It will feel differently. They will be able to squeeze it a lot differently than the regulation fully inflated ball. This is literally the dumbest waste of freaking time that anyone has ever experienced. And instead of dealing with real problems, murders, rapes, child molesting, the picketing, all the crap that's going on in the world. We're literally wasting time and money on a football and how much pressure was inflated in it. And because someone was caught and told deny, deny, deny until the end so we can beat this and win, it's going to go on for fucking ever. So this is my problem with it. Tom, you knew what you were doing. Just you, if you had just said, yeah, man, I like the ball a little bit underinflated. It's easier for me to grip. I like it. Who would have cared? Nobody would have cared. They would have been like, all right, dude, $50,000 fine. You can't do that anymore, okay? Fine, my bad. And we would have been done with it. Because guess what? The real golden boy of the NFL, Aaron Rodgers, said the same damn thing. I like the balls a little bit underinflated. I can grip it better. I get to give it a little bit more zip, and it's easier for me to hold it. End of story. Everyone's like, well, the dude's got giant hands. Oh, he can grip the ball fine. It's got nothing to do with how big your hands are. When you are rapidly torquing that ball back and forth over your shoulder and throwing it, the size of your hands is only half the equation. Being able to squeeze the ball and really just snap your wrist is all that position entails. That's the entire enchilada right there, okay? And if you can squeeze and hold the ball a little bit better because of less pressure, that is going to translate for you. And it will make a giant difference in throwing. Now, will it bounce off the opponent's hand differently and freaking cut through the air differently? I don't know about that. But I'm telling you right now, a guy who's getting paid millions of dollars to handle a football knows the difference between a correctly inflated football and one that has been doctored, whether it's from the weather, the ball boys, what the hell ever. This whole thing reeks of Tom was caught. He didn't want to admit to it because there was already a scandal that the Patriots had been bagged with in the past, and he knows if he got caught for this, it was just going to add to that. And the Patriots, cheaters, cheaters, cheaters. And look what happened anyways. They're still getting all the crap. So the fact of the matter is they decide, all right, we'll fire the ball boys. We're going to pay them a bunch of money on the side to keep their mouths shut, and we're just going to blame them. And there's no way you can heap it on Brady because guess what? It looks like the ball boys did it. And that's the way this is going to go down. And then 20 years from now, Chris, mark my words, there will be a confession and there will be a book and the ball boy, or it's going to be something stupid and it's going to be called like Confession of the Ball Boy. And it's going to be the guy for the New England Patriots that was on the payroll who's going to say, yeah, Tom Brady did tell me to, you know, that he liked the balls a little bit underinflated, and I did it, and I took the dive for him. Well, why'd you do that, Mr. Ballboy? I really like Tom, and I thought, you know, he's the face of this franchise, and I didn't want to mess with him. Wow, that's incredible. And then it's just going to break news, and Brady will be long retired, old and gray, and he'll be sitting in his house with probably his sixth Super Bowl ring and trophy. And he won't even care. It won't make a damn difference. He'll already be in the Hall of Fame.
We'll be doing the show from our rocking chairs with our kids and talking about it.
Exactly. Exactly. But I'm telling you, this thing's a giant waste of time.
Well, you make a good point. I'm actually surprised I didn't bring it up sooner. I mean, I played basketball my whole life from middle school to AAU to high school to college. And I'm actually going to play in my men's summer league right after this show gets over. And I'm very picky about balls. That sounds terrible. But anyway, I'm very picky about basketballs. I won't use a certain one if it doesn't have air, if it doesn't have the grips a certain way, if it doesn't have this or that. I basically need a ball that was just purchased to play in an outdoor court every single time. These old, worn-out balls. Now, I know it's different than air in them and things like that, but I know what a ball's supposed to feel like to come off my hands the right way and, you know, whatever. So I understand that. I get it. This Brady thing, I guess the only thing left to do is I have to ask you, does he get the four games or does the NFL compromise and he ends up getting one, two, or none, or three? But one, two. Really, two's been in the discussion. Either 0-2 or the full four. After all this is said and done.
I think honestly, after all this is said and done, it's not a suspension at all. And it's a giant waste of time. Maybe a fine. I don't know. I think once it goes to the legal system,
there's a lot
it's either Yeah, well, who gives a crap? Because guess what? This guy is now trying to make a decision about an underinflated football and putting off all the other crime, the real crime that's going on. You know, it's a joke. So I realistically think they can't tie anything to him. They have people that are willing to take the fall for him. It's done and over with. End. You know what I mean? I'm not going to sit here and be a moron like everyone else and try to dissect it even further and be like, well, there's no way that you could say he did it. He didn't know. So you got to be able to blame him for something. No, it's over, dude. Like, sorry, New York fan that hates the Patriots. It's over. You can't blame him. He knows every legal right of his, and it's done. It's done. He will not get caught for this. It's done and over with. The reason why he's standing firm right now is because he knows this. Don't you think Tom Brady has the highest paid, best lawyers on his side at this point in time? Yeah. And they're all telling him, dude, you're good, man. You are legit. Top to bottom, they got zero on you. And right now, this is the best chance you have of taking out Goodell, because we're going to bring it to court, and the judge is going to say, Roger Goodell, you've got nothing. I'm just saying right now, get rid of the suspension. And then that will literally be the beginning. Well, I guess actually not the beginning, but maybe like the middle of the end for Goodell, because you got to believe after this suspension gets overturned, it's just like, all right, see you, guy, you're done, because you're not doing anything right at this point. So that's my take. This is a giant waste of time. Brady won't miss a single effing game, and it's just that's it.
True. Good point. I mean, I like it. I understand. I obviously want Brady to get the 4 for selfish reasons, not because I feel like he deserves 4, but because we play him in the 4th game, and I want them to not have him. Simple. So, but that's just me being selfish and being a biased fan and wanting to beat that team and not having confidence in beating the team without Brady. So that's me. But anyway, all that aside, about 8 minutes ago here, we've been talking Brady here on our final Wednesdays with Wade. We've been talking Geno Smith. We've been talking Steve Smith. And we actually have, is this Bill? Bill from Long Island, yes or no?
Yes, it is.
Bingo. Bill, how you doing, buddy?
What's up, guys? How's everything going? How's your summer going?
Going good.
It's pretty good so far.
Hey, you
cool.
Gotta listen to us.
Hey,
listen, from now on, Bill, Mondays at 2. This Wednesday thing's done and over with.
Okay. Mondays at 2. All right.
Mondays at 2.
Yeah, what we're going to be doing.
Same channel.
I don't know how much of the show you listen to, but we are going to have an around the league segment like this.
Okay.
It's going to be 3 or 4 topics from just league news, whatever. That's going to be from 2 to 3. Then we're going to take a break, relax, compose ourselves, crack a beer, pay some bills. And 3:30 to 5 will be our normal Cowboy show. So it's going to be all day Monday, basically. So,
okay. So I'll be able to catch you where my schedule looks now. The first half of the show at the 2 o'clock show. So I'll be in.
That's cool. Awesome.
Starting September,
good.
I'll be in for sure.
You're a Long Island guy.
Yes.
You're a Long Island guy. What is going on down there right now? What is the buzz? I know you're a Giants fan, but
yes.
What is the buzz going on right now with this Geno Smith thing?
Well, the buzz is as the more the story comes out, the way I would describe it is what's going over the airwaves right now. I mean, it was stupid that it was handled in the way it was handled, but Geno Smith did everything wrong except punch himself in the face. Mm-hmm. I mean, the words coming out now was like he owed $600 to some backup linebacker who paid for a plane ticket and everything like that, and Geno kept blowing him off. And the word in around New York is that Geno got in his face, pointed in his face, goes, what are you going to do about it? You're not going to do nothing about it anyway. I'm not paying you this and that. I dare you to hit me. You're not going to do nothing, with his finger in his face, and the guy laid him out.
Wow. Well,
and, I mean, that's the story that's coming out. And, you know, the Jet veterans on the team are saying the right thing like that. But if they had real respect for Geno, if they saw this happening in the locker room, someone would have stepped in.
So Phil, really quick, because we only got like 2 minutes left. What do you think is going to happen with the Deflategate thing? What's the result? How many games has Brady missed?
Four. If this is going to go,
you think it holds up?
I completely disagree with what you said before. This is going to go in front of a judge, and the judge is going to see that, you know, everything that Goodell did was collectively bargained as a union thing, and he's going to turn to Brady and go, well, you know, they're in their rights to do this. It's collectively bargained. Goodell was allowed to moderate over the thing, serve you four games, and shut up. That's what it's going to come down to.
Well, then,
I mean, what can Brady say? It's really when they go to a civil court like this, it's the onus is going to be on Brady to prove himself innocent. It's almost, it's guilty, and he has to prove himself innocent. And everything that Goodell did was correct by the law of the CBA that they signed how many, 4 or 5 years ago, whatever it is. He did nothing wrong with that. He was allowed to be the judge and the jury. And, you know, Tommy's not going to like his little his day in court. That's why they're going to try and negotiate it down. If I was the NFL and if I was a fellow owner, You better throw the book at Brady. You gave him four. He better stick to it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, he'll lose credibility with the owners.
And real quick, actually, Dustin, I did press the wrong button. I made the show 90 minutes, but we will end it after the hour because we're all about consistency. But we have a couple extra minutes in case we need it.
Yeah, we can go a little bit long because it's the finale,
a little bit over. But, Bill, Steve Smith.
Yep.
Hall of Famer
this
season.
Yes.
Okay.
He was a difference maker on bad teams with never had a quarterback until last year and this year.
Dustin feels like he should not get in before Terrell Owens gets in.
Well, that's I agree to that too, but don't you have to be retired 5 years before you get in? T.O. better get in within the next 5 years.
Well, that's the thing, though, that T.O. has been done since 2010. So technically, after this season or whenever the technical five-year mark happens, T.O. is ready to go. But the same analysts that are saying surefire Hall of Famer, first ballot Hall of Famer for Steve Smith, immediately then say no to T.O. And I'm just like, are you out of your freaking mind?
Yeah,
like,
they're...
If they're just going off a character, they're thinking all the problems that he had outside of football. We're going strictly in a wind tunnel. Terrell Owens as a football player, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. It's not even close. I want to know, is Randy Moss in yet? Why the hell isn't Moss in if he hasn't been in yet?
Well, you know what it is? Since the game has changed, you know, a lot over the last 10 years between the number of receptions and yards, and they've been adding up really quickly. I think there's some sort of hierarchy, like, for instance, they had to get Tim Brown in before they start with the T.O. or Randy Moss, and they're going to make him wait a little bit because they weren't really good guys off the field. But my God, I mean, Andre Reed got in the damn Hall of Fame as a wide receiver. Those
yeah,
other two,
yeah.
And let's not talk, and you know, he has nice numbers and all, but I don't look at Andre Reed and see how he's a Hall of Fame player. I mean, Tim Brown was better than him. He should have got it before him. And Randy Moss is a better player than him, and go down the line. T.O. is a better player than him, and eventually when he gets out, Steve Smith will be a better player than Andre Reed, and he's a Hall of Famer, and everyone thought that was a no-brainer. So
yeah.
I think they have so many wide receivers they have to get in. Obviously, they're not going to put four in a class, even if it's worthy or whatnot. But they definitely, Randy Moss, Hall of Fame, first ballot Hall of Famer, T.O., first ballot Hall of Famer, and Steve Smith, I don't know if he's a first ballot, but if you're a Hall of Famer, you're a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, in my head, if you have to hesitate to think, you're not in.
Yeah, that's,
Steve
that,
Smith,
that,
I hesitate.
That's what I say with the – I'm big on baseball Hall of Famers. My criteria is you answer the question in 1 second. If you don't say yes in 1 second, you don't put him in.
Right.
And
so
the same Hall
Garrett
of
Jeter.
Any kind of Hall
Garrett
of Fame.
Jeter.
It's the Hall of Fame, not the Hall of Very Good.
All right, Bill, you just brought it up. You just brought it up. One last question. Derek Jeter, Hall of Fame.
Please? Really? Really?
I'm just saying, there are people that obviously are New England fans that hate him, but I think he was the face of baseball for like at least the last decade. in my opinion.
Not only should he go in, he should rival Tom Seaver's 98% ballot rate. He should. Like, I mean, the one who should really should top them all would be Mariano Rivera.
Right.
Yes. All right, Pete Rose.
No.
Ah, no, you don't.
No one's
think?
Letting that go. So just because he bet on baseball. Nobody gave him steroids.
Baseball,
he didn't
they
get
hold Brady in the same regard where he, you know, he'll eventually get in. Obviously, he'll be going too. But you know, when you mess with the continuity of the game, the real rules of the game, you got to be punished. And Pete, it's in every locker room. No gambling on baseball. No gambling on baseball. He lied through his teeth forever. No good. I love Pete. I thought he was a Hall of Fame caliber player without question, but he's not going to Hall of Fame.
Let me ask you this. Do you let steroid users in before you let Pete Rose in?
Great question.
Who do you forgive first?
You know what? I forgive the steroid guys.
Really?
Because what Pete Rose could have done could have affected, like, the integrity of the game and affected outcomes of the game. I know being an enhanced muscle-bound person who can see the ball better and recover faster and lift more weights and whatnot, and a lot of people were doing it, I would put the steroid guy in before I'd put Pete Rose in.
Okay.
Wow. Well, you heard it here
there
first.
There you have it, listeners.
The Overtime Sports News Network on our final edition of Wednesdays with Wade. Again, moving to Mondays, 2 o'clock, Mediation Mondays. Always hear us, 3:30 to 5, on our Stars Align show, the Dallas Cowboys show, the best team, America's team.
Hey,
but
Chris,
anyways,
also, give Bill our email, because I know he mentioned
yes.
He wouldn't mind doing some stuff on the Giants, and I would love to have that on the website if he's still up for that.
Absolutely.
Yes. Well, the email, I can give it to you now, or I can text it to you, or what?
Whatever you want to do.
It's overtime, SNN, @gmail.com. So OVERTIMESNN @gmail.com. Just email us, and then we'll do what we got to do to set you up, and then we'll get you on there doing some Giants coverage for us.
Very good.
Yeah, and
you gave
and
me
you
a bad year
much.
To start
I mean,
this because I don't have too many higher hopes for my team this year, but whatever.
Well, you know, that's good because you can sort of be that inside the division kind of a thing. Because personally, Dustin and I both feel that it's going to be Giants-Cowboys towards the top. We think the Eagles are going to take a backslide and the Redskins are a dumpster fire. So basically, if there's any competition for Dallas in this division, it's going to be the Giants. So I am actually anxious to see what happens with this defense after the Pierre Paul thing, the loaded offense that they have. So I'm anxious to see.
Did they pick up? Hey, did they pick up Smith? I know they were talking to Smith, the 49ers D-end.
No.
Alden Smith?
No.
Yeah. Well, did you?
No,
are you
I think him
no,
and JPP
no,
are going to have a fireworks party, go drink and crash into a tree or something.
Right. But I'm saying is, I know you might not like him, but ultimately that might be something that the Giants.
No, that's
need.
Not. That's really not the Giant way.
Oh, okay.
Not this. Not no.
Bill. We are up against it. We got to go. We will get you the email and all that. Real funny though. The guy that punched Gino.
Got picked up by the Bills.
Ryan just picked him up.
Awesome.
Yeah, just like how funny is that?
If we had, it's great, and you know, I kind of laugh at Rex Ryan and his antics and everything like that. But I heard you earlier in the show saying you don't like the Todd Bowles, the coach of the Jets, that they need to get.
He
doesn't.
I like him.
Well, someone over there was saying they didn't like him, and
I don't.
Totally disagree. You can't bring in a guy with a fiery personality and replace him with a guy with a fiery personality. Bowles is more laid back. He's going to be a very good coach for them.
Yeah, but that's,
well, we
that's
will
that
see.
Brings us back.
Football
yeah, but that
starts
brings us back
in...
to the play. No, Chris, stop it. That brings us back to: Is it better to have a player's coach that literally lets all the veterans walk all over them and have zero respect for them, and then all the young guys decide, all right, I guess this is the way that we're going to do it in this locker room, So we're going to just be all a big group of idiots together. You need somebody to come in, and Rex Ryan, just because he had a strong personality, he was loud and funny, does not mean he was a hard-ass coach like the, you know, the Bill Cowers of the world or the John Grudens of the world. You need a guy who's going to come in and set these thugs straight so they stop punching each other in practice, they respect the guy who's in charge, and they can move forward and win football games.
You know what, I want to agree with you, I really do, but, you know, in 2015, you know, altercations happened on the field. You saw your boy Dez beating up on some cornerback, and he kind of regretted that one. I mean, it's 95 degrees out there. They're running sprints, and they're hitting each other. I mean, fights are going to occur. They've hit the same people for 6 weeks before they get into real any kind of hitting someone else. And, you know, these things happen, whether if you're a veteran coach like Tom Coughlin or a rookie coach like Todd Bowles and everyone in between. It happens. You hear every all the ex-players say it used to happen on the field, used to happen a lot. And I don't think this one incident really is indicative of the whole Jet room. But everything you hear from like the inside is saying like this team is really galvanized. They're going to get behind Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I think the coach really has a handle on the team. And I think they're going to surprise a little bit. And I think going into 2015, they have the man they want to really lead the team right now, and that's Fitzpatrick.
Well, we will see how the Jets, amongst other teams, do. The NFL starts in just over a month and one day is opening day kickoff. You can catch all the preseason action tomorrow night as football is back, baby. And we have to sign off from Wednesdays with Wade. It's been fun, but we will see you Monday at 2 o'clock. And, Dustin, by the way, tell him.
I mean, anybody with eyes knows that was a catch.
You're damn right. We'll see you next week.
Thank you very much for listening to Stars Align.